Welcome to The Lobbying Show, the show about the people in government relations, how they got into it, and what their jobs entail, what works and what doesn't. I am the host, Jim O'Brien. Today's guest is Elizabeth Bartz of State and Federal Communications, known as State and Fed. They help companies and lobbyists comply with ethics rules in all 50 states, in Washington, and now globally. Incredible. She borrowed money and bought the compliance department from State and Federal Associates in 1993, moved it to Akron, Ohio, and has grown into the premier compliance firm, if not the only, in the country. She is a true entrepreneur and can be seen at all of the legislative and other conferences across the country. We did the interview standing up at a conference. She didn't have time or need to sit down. Elizabeth Bartz. All right, so I'm here in Boston for NCSL and their annual meeting, which gets over 1,000 participants, in-house state government relations people, legislators, obviously, from all 50 states. And I am up above the exhibit hall where many of the companies and entities put up booths for people to walk by and check out what they do and how they do it. And I am going to walk down there and find Elizabeth Bartz from State and Federal Communications. Elizabeth has been running this business for, I think, about 25 years, and she is the go-to person for ethics compliance. Many, many companies, some of our clients, use her to make sure they are following the ethics laws in the different states, and they are all very different. So we're going to walk down there and talk to Elizabeth and see how she got into this business. And from her vantage point, she works with contract lobbyists and in-house people and really has an interesting perspective in that she's involved in all the 50 states and interacting with all these in-house government relations people and kind of sees things from a different perspective and sees it from up close. So we're going to walk down there now and check it out. Elizabeth!
Oh my God, we're meeting!
We are meeting. When, thank God I caught you. You were trying to sneak out.
No, I'm on. I'm over here. I'm right down there at 7:30.
I'll follow you. How are you?
I'm fine.
I have a feeling that you're like running this floor.
I'm not running.
Yes, I've seen you. I have a feeling you run just about anything you're involved in.
This is Jim O'Brien. We're doing a podcast.
Well, you guys have a nice booth.
Yeah.
You guys actually have, you got cushy carpet.
If you'd have known that, you'd have been parked here for 3 days.
I would have been spending a lot of time here.
It was very nice.
Yes. We learned the hard way, as does everybody.
And so how many years have you done?
18 years.
18 years.
This is our 18th year.
18 year in business or at NCSL?
At NCSL, 24 years in business.
In business, okay. And then which conferences do you have a booth at?
This is our major one.
This is the major one.
Yeah.
And this seems like, is this the biggest legislative conference? I mean, they have over 1,000 people, I think, here. Is that what they said?
No, they have more than 4,000.
Oh, they have over 1,000 people, I think, at the House of Blues.
Yeah.
So over 4,000 at the event. So mm-hmm. This is the biggest one.
Yeah.
So you find it very helpful to have a booth, have people stop by.
Yeah, we need to be here. The main office for State and Federal Communications is in Akron, Ohio. Okay, nobody's walking up and down the street unless they're looking for Cavs tickets. So we have to be where our clients are, and this is where they are.
So they walk by,
they
see your name, like,
talk.
Oh, where's Elizabeth, or where's whoever.
And then a lot of clients tell other people,
yep,
who are you using for this? We'll get a lot of legislators here that say, what do you do?
Yep.
And, you know, I kind of say, well, you know, those lobbyists that come and talk to you, we make sure they know what the law is in your state.
Now, are your clients typically more the in-house government relations or people like me, contract lobbyists, or both?
No, our clients are in-house.
Are typically in-house.
And then they have contract lobbyists.
Right.
And
I get the emails.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes. Reminder, Jim, it's the first. Where's the information?
Jim is the contract lobbyist for the Carpet
and Rug
Institute,
which is why I was noticing the nice plush carpet.
Yes.
And
because of Jen Stowe, we all notice nice plush carpet.
Yes, we do. And other flooring material.
And other flooring material, yes.
Yes, we do. And so, and is the ethics compliance your main, because you do many different things. Is that your primary service or business?
Lobbying, campaign finance, procurement lobbying, you know, selling to the states. And we also do Canadian compliance.
Oh, my God.
They don't have states. They have territories.
Right.
And we're changing it more to, we're going to move Canada over to an international silo, and we're going to start covering lobbying and ethics laws in European countries. As soon as I find somebody who can speak Mandarin.
And, seven different languages.
Yeah. No, we've got a plan for it, but it is interesting to hear how some of these other countries define lobbying. They don't know what it means.
So is it more restrictive or less restrictive, or just they're not sure how to define it?
They're not sure.
Okay.
Because they call it, a lot of places will call it anti-bribery.
Okay.
And that's not what we...
No.
We don't want it to be that.
No.
So we want to, and we want to know how to deal with political contributions, because it seems like a lot of these European candidates are hiring American political consultants.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and the anti-bribery bribery is very different than ethics compliance.
Oh, it's a whole different, like,
right,
way
right.
of,
that's,
like, we'd chop your fingers off if you, yeah.
Right, right, right. Well, that seems to be a very large undertaking.
It's huge. And it has taken, I will say, 3 years. I've had the proposal from one of the attorneys on my staff, because I said, okay, we want to do this. Anybody have an idea how it's going to get done?
So why have you been waiting 3 years? The investment, the
time,
the decision, the headache, the...
Time. Yep. I have a staff of 40 people. Three of them are in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
2 years ago, seven of them were having babies.
That was, yeah.
Which is a nice
it's
thing.
It's a young staff.
Which is a nice thing.
Yes. However.
However, I was
it
like.
It makes my life a little more difficult.
Yes.
You will find that ever since then, we no longer give off Veterans Day. They were all due the same time.
We also switched out the water machines.
Yeah.
We just wanted to make sure.
In case there was ever any question what was going on.
Did it help?
No, I have more this year.
But well, that's a major undertaking. Wow.
It is, and you're doing it. But that's how we started procurement lobby. When I started working at, I worked at State and Federal Associates in Washington, D.C.
Okay, so let's start there. So you started, let's back up. So you're in college, and you major in journalism, is that right?
My undergraduate is in journalism. My master's is in political science.
Both are from Kent?
Yes.
Okay. You graduate, and then what?
I had an opportunity to go to Washington as the assistant director of a Washington program that Kent State University had. I did that, told my folks I'd be home in 3 months, got a job at Campaigns and Elections, worked there for a couple of years.
Okay.
And answered a PO.
They were located on Capitol Hill?
They were at the National Press Building when I was there.
Okay.
And applied for a job as an editor through the Washington Post job.
Classifies.
And got a job at State and Federal Associates, which is where I worked for 10 years, manually updating loose leaf books on lobbying and campaign finance. And after 10 years, really wanted to move back to Ohio.
Okay.
That's where I was from.
Yep.
I really wanted a change. And so they gave me an opportunity to buy my department for a small fortune.
Okay.
But I paid them off every year. It was my 5-40 plan. I was 35. I would pay them off when I was 40. But I paid them off when I was 39. I had a bigger 40th birthday party.
And why did they sell that part of the business to you?
State and Federal Associates did healthcare consulting and financial services consulting. So the entire time I worked for them, they reminded me that I was not the tail of the dog, but I was the tip of the tail of the dog.
Well, that's not very nice.
I don't think so. Until I wanted to buy the department.
Then all of a sudden,
it's a little bigger tail.
Yeah, yeah. It's so valuable. Right.
So they sold it to me. They were looking for somebody to take it over, and I was up in Ohio trying to find a job. and neither one of us were successful. So they said, we're really not interested in keeping this.
Okay.
So you take it. I mean, and I bought it. I mean, it was the most money I've spent on anything except my condo in D.C., which I just bought 4 years ago. But it was, I paid them off a little bit every month.
Yep.
And as I owed them money, they also managed all the accounting.
Okay.
Okay. The money went to them. They took their cut. They made sure they were getting their money.
They were getting paid
first. If there was excess at the end,
then you
they
have.
Got it. No.
Oh.
They got it to pay off what I owed them.
Oh, okay. And then once you paid off the loan, then yours free and clear.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's my own little Victor Kiam story. You know, I liked the company so much, I bought it. Like that Remington Steel.
Yes.
Remington Shaver.
Now, do they still exist?
No. Shortly after I paid them off, another company bought the healthcare part of it, and the financial services part just kind of went away.
Okay. So the first part of the business was
lobbying law and campaign finance.
Campaign finance.
And then we did procurement lobbying.
Okay.
And
in the states or federal? In the states.
In the states.
Okay.
And it was hiring somebody to do just that.
Okay.
We had no money coming in for it, and it took us a couple of years to get it
off. So you were actually paying someone to do that, and you had no money coming
right.
in, so you were taking a loss on that
right.
new part of the business.
Right, and then we offered it as a service.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we had switched from the loose leaf to all online.
Uh-huh.
And in the meantime, we were also adding municipalities.
Okay.
So now with all three of them, we cover all 50 states, the federal government, and about 300 municipalities. People always say, well, how do I know you're covering the city I need? Trust me, we're covering the city you need.
Right, right.
I mean, there might be one we have to look at or something.
And if we don't, we're going to look into it.
We're going to look into it.
Now, I have to confess, I did not know. I mean, you do lobbying in the states too?
No, we do not lobby.
I didn't
think
so.
Give people a website, a company like IBM, or we have a number of corporate and trade associations that subscribe to our website. We don't do their reports like we help Jen Stubb.
Okay.
They go to our site and they can see. I'm going to Boston. Can I take somebody out to dinner?
What are the, okay.
Yeah, no is the answer.
Isn't that always the answer?
No.
Oh, in some states
can? And I try to, when I talk to people, I was like, this helps you because then you don't become the no department.
Right.
It's not like, no.
Well, not only do you, I think you have, I think your service is really twofold. One, it's not only knowledge and experience and expertise, but if you're in a big company, and you trip up and make a mistake, which anyone is capable of doing, if you've hired state and federal communications, then you really can't be criticized that much.
Well, and we work really close with the governing agencies in the states.
Uh-huh.
We're members of COGL, the Council on Governmental Ethics Laws. And so when I talk to people, I say, that doesn't mean I'm going to get you out of a fine. But they're going to know that they haven't hired somebody who's trying to beat the system.
Right. They're doing everything they can to abide by the laws, which are very difficult to understand. And for these corporations who are operating in dozens of states, for them to keep track of it, I don't know how they do it. It is. So for people like me who operate in one state, I really don't know. It's really difficult.
It is very difficult, and it is short-sighted on any company to think that they can do it on their own. Especially if they have a group of lobbyists out there. These things change all the time. And then if you want them to keep track of city councils, they meet more. They don't have the recesses and the adjournment like state legislators do.
Right. And so I would imagine what's happening is you're having a lot of large companies are beginning to do international work, and so you're seeing a need there.
Yeah. They're asking, do you have a sister company that does international?
In France?
I was like, I have a sister.
Yeah.
Right.
So we are moving into that. And we're going to, as I said, we have Ireland done. We have Canada. We really have Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. So we're going to kind of move it over to a new silo where it says international. And obviously, just like we did with procurement, offer it for a dime to get people into it, but we're having the same research on all of these jurisdictions,
Right.
Because they need to know.
Right. So you went back to Ohio.
After
4 years, you paid off the...
State and Federal Associates.
And you now own it free and clear.
Right. And I have 40 employees now, this close to FMLA. So the next hire is HR to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I am doing that right. Because the federal government tells me I have to do something, like I have to offer COBRA.
Yes.
But what's that?
Yes. Yes.
Homeland Security. We do everything possible to keep Homeland Security and the IRS out of our office.
Keep them happy.
Yes.
I think that's a good strategy. So what were your, when you're back in Ohio, were there some years that were more challenging than others?
Well, I think starting off things were challenging because I went up there and...
You had no employees.
Well, I had one. I hired my sister.
Okay.
She worked with me for a year until her husband got a job in Kansas. And after that, I was able to start. I had some notoriety and I could, like, hire people. But the real problem was that everybody in Ohio had learned a different sort of word processing program called WordPress or WordPerfect.
WordPerfect. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. I'm a Bill Gates girl. So we had to do a lot of training on that. Now it's a little, now it's not as difficult. But as long as I owed State and Federal Associates money, I had to go to Washington every month and show them my marketing plan, business plan, how things were going, and to get their wisdom on how to proceed. So I was doing the traveling for work. I was doing the traveling for there. I was the marketing department. I was doing the research. It was a lot of work.
It is a lot. So which conferences do you typically do now? You do NCSL, obviously.
We do NCSL. We do a lot with the Public Affairs Council.
Okay.
And just last week...
Are you on the board of PAC?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I'm on the foundation board here.
Yes. For those, you can't see it because obviously we're on audio. Elizabeth has a lot of those ribbons on the bottom
flair.
Of her... What's that?
Flair.
Flair. A lot of... Right. A lot of flair on the bottom of her ID. We have business, foundation, exhibitor, women, legislative network...
NCSL Alliance,
Yeah.
So this is our biggest trade show.
Okay.
Okay, I have the most invested here. It's the only time I bring the big booth out.
Okay.
But we do a lot with the Public Affairs Council, and last week we were involved with a new conference in Annapolis that was started by the Beekeeper Group, an advocacy firm in D.C. It was called Buzz Advocacy.
Uh-huh.
I go to a lot of other conferences, but we don't exhibit there. I go to National Governors. I go to the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
Okay.
Because that's where my clients are.
So your travel budget is quite, you, that's a lot of...
Yeah, that's what my comptroller tells me.
And from Ohio, you're flying everywhere. It's not like you're in Washington, D.C., where it's...
Right.
Right. Where,
well,
yeah.
And that's why about 4 years ago, my husband and I got a condo in D.C., because we were tired of putting somebody else's kid through college.
How many... You work with so many companies and organizations. I think three of my clients use you. How many companies and entities do you work with?
Really more than 100 that we help them with their lobbying compliance.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many people do you have that are sending emails to people like me saying, hey, let's go, buddy. Where is the information?
Our compliance department has about 12 people. Now, company-wide, I have about 12 attorneys on staff.
12 attorneys?
Mm-hmm.
Looking at all the ethics laws?
Yes, in-house. Half of them work in compliance and half of them work in the research department, getting the information compliance department needs to know.
Okay. So where do you go from here? What's next? CSG? Do you do CSG?
You know what? I do CSG, but I really haven't been home, so I am going home tomorrow, and I am not going to go to Unksville, Connecticut.
You're not?
No, sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
Sorry.
And that's just, that's CSG East, so it's just one.
I know. I really prefer the Midwest, but I couldn't go when they were meeting, and... I'm going to go to their meeting in Vegas.
Okay. So now, so what's your next conference that you're going to?
Practicing Law Institute, which is out of Washington, D.C. It's the first week in September.
Okay.
And we are attendees. We're one of their premier members, and I send a number of my attorneys there because they get about 18 CLEs going there.
Okay.
There are a lot of different things. Grassroots Network is having a program at George Washington University on August 31st, and Gamble and John Sponarelli from my staff will be there.
Okay. And they'll have a booth up or
yeah.
just, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment.
Boy, I'll say. You seem, when I saw you the other night, you, well, let me just say, I would expect someone who's been doing this for 25 years might be a little jaded or not. You seem, the other night when I saw you, so happy to be there,
yeah.
happy to see old friends.
I mean, definitely.
You seem as enthusiastic today as like you've been doing this for 1 year.
It's Centrum Silver for women over 50.
But you clearly are still enjoying it.
I do. I do enjoy it. I do. I keep saying, whenever I would fly home when Congressman Regula was in office, he would be, you know, walking down the aisle at Cleveland Airport like this.
Dragging
and
his
he'd
bags.
Look at me and say, honey, you don't have to walk slow with me. You can walk ahead of me. I'm like, I'm trying to keep up with you, old man. But I do enjoy it. And having a great staff is key. I can't do this by myself. Having the staff in Akron is great. Branching out in Washington is fabulous.
Well, your reputation is second to none. It was great to talk to you. I appreciate you taking the time as you're closing down your booth. And great to see you and your team. And good luck.
If you have any questions, don't hesitate to call.
I will. So now they're breaking down all the booths. People are, it's like there was an announcement that was made, and everyone instantly started breaking down the booths. And I have a feeling this hall is going to be empty in about 30 minutes. So NCSL for 2017 is now over, and I think people are moving on to CSG East, to, as Elizabeth said, in Uncasville, Connecticut next week.